name's Jim Rome. The Clone's nice to have you here. In fact, great to have you here. And great to be here myself. Broadcasting live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio in Southern California. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices. Every day, already a hump day. Midweek, and I've got lots of show for you. Starting with your telephone number, I've got a guest coming up next segment, but if you want to jump in right now, as I've made reference to before, I'll blow this thing out in the open. I would take a telephone call in the open for the right phone call, 1-800-636-8686. You can follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome, and you can email me directly, you know that, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interview that's coming up in about 15 minutes, former major leaguer Johnny Gomes. Johnny Gomes back in the jungle. Giving back, as always, we'll have him in about 15 minutes. In hour number two, Texans defensive back Kareem Jackson. In hour number three, former major leaguer Gary Sheffield is back. And it's Wednesday, so I've got the ATP, the Ask the Pros. You know where to find me. Hit me up on the phones, on Twitter, or via email. Let me start with some basketball. After the most incredible and exciting offseason ever, the NBA regular season opened up last night, and the question was whether October through June could live up to the adrenaline of June through September. I mean, when have we ever asked that question? And to me, the answer is probably not. I mean, not even close. Yes, you had the energy of Kyrie's return to Cleveland, and you had Golden State getting their rings because Kevin Durant got the Rockets on a buzzer beater until a replay revealed that he didn't beat the buzzer. Rockets win. And you can cue all the fresh, guess the Warriors aren't as good as we thought takes. I mean, wrong. The only thing we learned from that game is that Golden State is not going to go 82-0. That's it. But as good as that game was, I'm just going to go ahead and declare last night to be the worst opening night in a very long time. Not because nothing could live up to the hype of the offseason, although it's true, nothing was going to match that. But the night was ruined just over 5 minutes into the season when Gordon Hayward went down with one of the most gruesome, nasty injuries you will ever see. So nasty, I know that I never want to see it again. I'm not even sure I want to play it on the air. But in case you haven't heard about it, here is what happened last night.
Kyrie lob looking for Gordon Hayward. Ooh. He throws it into traffic. It takes a funny bounce, though, right to Jaylen Brown, who gets to the cup.
Uh-oh.
And lays it in, but Gordon Hayward is hurt.
He's broke. His leg is broke. His foot is broke, Sean. He is broke.
Gordon Hayward landed awkwardly. We have Celtics with their hands on their head, and it is season, a summer in which everybody thought they knew what was going to happen. Everybody waiting for a wild card, and 5 minutes and 15 seconds into opening night, as gruesome a wild card as you can imagine has just been dealt to the Celtics.
Yeah. His foot was completely turned the other way. You can see everybody kind of walking away. He was almost in shock as he looked at his foot down, turned the other way. That ankle is broken, and that probably will do him for the season.
Celtics radio, I mean, truly terrible. Truly terrible, terrible moment. I mean, I legitimately yelled when I saw that happen. I tried to change the channel. I was so rattled, I could barely even work the remote. And if you didn't see it, here is the description of the injury in the aftermath from Chris Mannix. Mannix writes, Hayward, swiveling his body towards the Cavaliers bench, his ankle fractured, his foot twisted nearly 120 degrees, hanging limply off his leg. Referee Monty McCutcheon immediately singled a timeout as Cavs players seated on the bench recoiled, leaped to their feet, and raced off the floor. End quote. Now, I'm really not sure how Hayward was not screaming his lungs out after that. I assume it must have been shock. I know I was in shock. You could tell everybody else on the court and in the arena was also. The looks on the faces of Kyrie, LeBron, Al Horford, Tristan Thompson, and everybody else told that story. Shock, horror, nausea. I mean, I still cannot get that image out of my mind. I don't think I ever will. It was that grotesque, that troubling, that disgusting. Kyrie said afterwards, quote, it's tough.
It's tough. I've seen you know, a few injuries in my career, and I've had a few, and I've seen a few, and probably two of the worst ones I've been in the game watching. One was at USA, and this one was tonight.
And again, it's not just his own teammates. You could see the way the Cavaliers reacted and responded. LeBron spent some time with Hayward before he left the floor. He also said, I've seen some terrible injuries, and this one's right there.
I seen Paul George when it happened to Paul. I was watching the game with Sean Livingston and when he was with the Clippers. And I was watching NCAA basketball with Kevin Ware when he's at Louisville. And those are the injuries that, you know, you never see coming. You never want to happen, no matter who it is, no matter what the stature, no matter how much competitive nature that you have. It was just very unfortunate.
LeBron, and if your name is mentioned with Paul George, Kevin Ware, and Sean Livingston, that is terrible, terrible news. As for George, he tweeted, God bless you, bro, at Gordon Hayward. Help him through his God, or this God. Sean Livingston tweeted, 3 prayer emojis, and at Gordon Hayward, only God has all the answers. Chandler Parsons, Carl Anthony Towns, Dwight Howard, DeAndre Jordan, the list of players and NBA teams who tweeted out love and support kept growing. Again, just a terrible moment. And it's hard to know what the worst part of that was. The injury itself, the freak nature of the injury, the fact that we didn't even get 6 minutes of the Kyrie Gordon Celtics before their season was over. I mean, the list goes on. The fact that the Celtics still managed to be competitive last night is incredible. Because I didn't even want to watch that game anymore, let alone play in that game. That is the worst injury I have seen in a very long time. And it's a reminder of just how fragile and fleeting everything is. This guy did everything in his power to get ready for this season. New team, new opportunity, doubled down, was totally prepared, never looked better, never felt better, and it was all blown up in 5 minutes. On a play that he's probably executed hundreds, if not thousands of times in his basketball life. Sean Livingston made it all the way back. Paul George made it all the way back. Hayward can too. But I would give anything to scrub that image from my mental hard drive, but that's just not going to happen. It's an absolutely terrible injury. Your thoughts on that too. 1-800-636-8686. You know, if you want to get to a point where you talk about where that leaves the Celtics, we can do that, but it's hard for me to get there having watched that last night. All right, elsewhere, I want to talk some baseball. Dodgers, Cubs, L.A. goes to Chicago, and the friendly confines were rocking until the Dodgers did the Cubs once again. Now they're up 3-0. Cubs bullpen implodes yet again. Lots of thoughts on that matchup. Meanwhile, in the ALCS, I'm not sure if you know this or not. I don't know if you know this or not, and I'm willing to put myself out there. They pay me to put myself out there, so I'm going to do it. I'll say it. I'll go there. Aaron Judge is pretty good at baseball. Rack me. Now I'm out. Dude, this guy's unbelievable. He woke the Yankees up in Game 3, and just as they were about to nap it out for the winter last night, he hit them with the paddles again in Game 4. Now that series is tied up at 2 games apiece. I want to get to that. One more basketball note. We want to talk about a discouraging opening night. The Bulls hadn't even played yet. And their drama is at an all-time high. One bull putting another bull to sleep and breaking his face in the process. You know that phrase? Yeah, that guy broke his face. Now, I mean this literally. One bull broke another bull's face and concussed him. That's coming up. The reaction to the podcast that dropped yesterday. We had Bill Cowher and Kevin Millar. And we had a big announcement yesterday. The Jungle is going to television. Finally, after all this time, we're going to televise this program. In case you missed the announcement, the show is going to air starting January 2nd on CBS Sports Network. So, number one, you want to find out whether or not you have CBS Sports Network. And if you don't have it, how to get it. And make sure you're ready to roll. This show is going to be televised live 3 hours a day from a new studio on CBS Sports Network. And that's going to start on January 2nd. 1-800-636-8686. As far as the Celtics, you saw what happened to them last night. So they lose Gordon Hayward. They go into a state of shock. They fall behind. Yet they battle all the way back. I'm not saying that they're the team to beat in the East. I'm not going to say that this isn't going to have a dramatic impact on their season. It's a tough-minded team. I mean, anybody would have understood if they were looking for a place to lie down last night and just quit. But that's not what they did. If not for LeBron going LeBron late, and Kevin Love hitting that big 3, they may even win that game. So they're not done yet. I'm not throwing dirt on them yet. It's going to be that much tougher, but they're not done yet. That is a tough-minded team. Question is, what do they do about that? Do they stay with what they have, or do they go out there and try and pull the trigger and make another big deal? Celtics fans, what was it like to watch that? This email says, Romy Rome, I'm at Jeff in San Antonio level of emotional thinking about you heading for TV. Just kidding. I'm a lady clone, not a wuss. My only hang-up is that I can only listen during lunch until summer rolls around, so I'm considering hooking up the teacher's lounge with a TV. What do you think? Your lady clone numbers are going to skyrocket. Sign Nikki at Not a Catch, Dez.
War Lady Clones.
Nikki likes to tweet the program from her handle, Not a Catch, Dez. Nikki, do it. Do it, Nikki. Bring Rome into the lunchroom. You're right. I need my lady clone numbers to skyrocket. I want them to go from 3 to 6. Let's do this, Nikki. Pick me up, Nikki. Do it. Get the TV in there. And once you get that TV in there, you got to make sure you have CBS Sports Network. Do it. You can do this, Nikki. The ATP is coming up in hour number 3. If you're unaware of that, it's the Ask the Pros. You can ask me anything you want. Make it interesting. I'll read one later on. At Cody, KCMO tweets, did you see Gordon Hayward's gruesome injury? Brutal. But you know what you didn't see? Tears. Men don't cry. Unward Jeff in San Antonio. Why are you doing that? What? Why are you slamming a Jeff in San Antonio reset into one of the most gruesome injuries ever? Can't shake Jeff. That was all the rage on the voicemail for episode number 9. Almost everybody was imitating Jeff in San Antonio. Jeff called the show last week. He was coming up on a pretty monumental moment in his life. He and his fiance were about to have a child. He thought back to what this show meant to him. He called the show. He got dusty. He teared up, and the clones are absolutely wrecking him still.
War, me and my fiance?
And one more email. Dear Jim, tremendous podcast yesterday. I know that saying something sucks isn't a take, but the best take I've ever heard in my life was Kevin Millar telling Dan Shaughnessy his hair sucks. You've had some great interviews on the pod so far, but I'm pretty sure that was my favorite. Phil in Missouri, didn't I say that yesterday? I said yesterday that through 9 episodes, you could probably get 10 or 12 different answers, but that some of you would listen to Kevin Millar and say, that's my favorite interview. And he just did. Phil in Missouri. Wore that guy who called in as Sidney Crosby. He sounds like an amazing fellow. Hey, listen, one really quick thing before I go to the break. You know, if you want to call that voicemail and just give me a straight take, that'd be incredible. A straight sports take. Don't pretend you're Sidney Crosby. Don't pretend you're Macho Man Savage. Don't pretend you're Jeff in San Antonio. Don't pretend to be anybody. Just be you. Give me a straight sports take and make sure that you can get it in under 15 minutes. You have a very good chance of being on the pod if you can give me a good, strong, solid sports take and not pretend to be somebody you're not and get it in under 15 minutes. It's not that hard. Here's the number. Put this in your phone. The voicemail number for our podcast, 949-385-0447. Call it right now, 949-385-0447. When we come back, Johnny Gomes joins us.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. We are efforting Johnny Gomes. After dropping the first two games of the series and having their hearts ripped out by Justin Turner, the Cubs were returning home to the friendly confines. And what they needed more than anything else was to get right in a hurry. Nothing would be better than to get out to an early lead, get their fans fired up, get that stadium rocking, which is exactly what happened when Kyle Schwarber stepped to the plate in the bottom of the first.
Here is Kyle Schwarber. He's had 5 career postseason home runs. And Kyle drives one in the air, deep left center field. This ball's got a chance. Gone. Kyle Schwarber gives the Cubs a 1-0 lead.
That's what I'm saying. It's exactly what I'm talking about. You let that big dog eat, and then you let him flip that bat afterwards. That is exactly the thing that Joe Madden's crew needed. The crowd's going ballistic. The Cubs dugout was fired up. Even those arsonists in the bullpen were dancing. The defending champs are back in business. Except that lasted for maybe half of an inning, because in the top of the second, Andre Ethier came up, and then he went out.
Ethier with a fly ball to deep right field, down the line, and it is gone, a home run. Andre Ethier, just over the ivy, down the right field line, has tied the score at one.
Dodgers radio, you know you're pushing all the right buttons if you're Dave Roberts. And Andre Ethier, who hit two home runs all year long, is going yard in his first at bat. Tie game. But that didn't last long, because in the top of the third, along came Chris Taylor.
On 3-1, Taylor with a fly ball to center field. Well hit. Jay going back to the wall. He looks up, and it's gone. A home run. Chris Taylor is shot over the wall in center, and the Dodgers take a 2-1 lead.
So the guy who had one home run entering this season jumped ship for the second time in the series, 2-1 Dodgers. But that was not the end of the game or the end of the series. No, that moment came in the sixth inning when Carl Edwards Jr. walked Yu Darvish with the bases loaded. One thing for a relief pitcher to walk a starting pitcher with the bases loaded. That's bad. That's terrible. But doing it on four pitches, that's the worst. If you want a time of death for this particular series, it was the moment the fourth ball left Edwards' hand and Darvish started jogging down to first. If Joe Madden didn't want to dry hump his bullpen in Game 2, I have no idea what he wanted to do with it in Game 3. You can't have a reliever walk a pitcher like that. But it wasn't just the bullpen. Wilson Contreras had some really weird moments behind the plate. Ian Happ dropped a fly ball in center. Alex Avila and Albert Almora had a bizarre moment on the base pass where they both ended up on third base, only to be bailed out by the ivy. It seemed like the entire team was melting down, and Joe Madden didn't have a single answer for it. And as shaky as the Cubs have been on the mound, in the field, and on the bases, it's not like they're much better at the plate. They're hitting 160 with 32 strikeouts for the series, and they still have not scored a run on the Dodgers' bullpen. This was a team that faced more than a century's worth of pressure last season, took it all in stride. But if I didn't know any better, I would think that the moment was getting to them right now. Suddenly, that moment is too big for them. The moment and the Dodgers, because LA is rolling. 6-0 in the postseason, 2-0 on the road. Chris Taylor is raking. Yasiel Puig is going Yasiel Puig in the best possible way at the best possible time. And Yu Darvish paid for himself last night. He gave up that home run to Schwarber in the first, but then he settled down and he pitched into the seventh, striking out seven along the way. Hard to say that one game makes a big trade entirely worth it, but that one game pretty much made that trade entirely worth it. Because being up 3-0 is so much different than being up 2-1. Just as being down 0-3 is totally different from being down 1-2. Dodger fans may not want to hear this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't want to say the series is over, but that series is over. Don't get me wrong. 2017 Cubs are a good team. I just don't think they're the 2004 Red Sox. They are dead on arrival, and Madden and his players are going to have some questions to answer this offseason. They're done. Johnny Gomes is going to join me at 9:40 Pacific, so about 15 minutes from right now. This email says, "Dear Jim, yesterday we raked. Today we sweep. Sincerely, stay-at-home dads." Denlesks, non-commuter. Denlesks, aren't you a stay-at-home dad? Isn't that how you have time for all this? I always assumed that you were a stay-at-home dad. Are you here to crack your own? How else would you have as much time to shop the things that you shop on Twitter? Get a quick phone call in here. Let's go to Maine. Ryan in Maine.
Jimmy,
good morning. How are you? What's up, Ryan?
Not too much. Hey, so yeah, that Dodgers-Cubs series is over. It was over quick. Just definitely not as quick as my Celtics basketball season. That season is now over. I am sick to my stomach about the injury. I physically could not get out of bed this morning, and therefore I had to call out of work. And I don't know if I'm making it in the rest of the week, Jim. It ended so fast. It was such a promising season, and, you know, it had a gruesome ending.
Hey, Ryan, you legitimately didn't go to work after you saw that? I mean, did that hit you that hard?
Jim, I had to skip work. You don't even know. Boston was ready to take down the Cavs. We were ready to take down Golden State this year. No doubt in my mind, Jim.
You know, it may be the case, Ryan. That's really something. I appreciate that. Thank you. He literally said, I could not get out of bed. I was sick to my stomach. Seeing that, I was sick to my stomach. And so my then follow would be, you were sick to your stomach because the injury was so gruesome, or you were sick to your stomach because you know your season's over already, or both. It was gruesome. I've done this a long, long time. I've seen some pretty gruesome things. I mean, even all these years later, I can't say how many times I've spoken to Sean Livingston. And maybe it's because I've spoken to Sean Livingston so many times. I can't watch that injury. I can't watch what happened to Kevin Ware. I can't think about what happened to Paul George. I mean, these are gruesome, gruesome injuries. Like the type of thing that if you're watching on TV, you can't get to the remote quickly enough. Or the type of thing that if you had missed it and you were out and about and all of a sudden your phone started to blow up and you looked at it on your phone, you drop your phone if you saw it. Terrible, terrible injuries. I saw a post, a really amazing post from Kobe Bryant to Gordon Hayward. You should read this, where he's talking about the Mamba mentality, but don't dismiss it. That's just Mamba mentality. He's talking about how he should process this injury, how he should feel, how he should approach it, how he should attack it, what it means. It's a really interesting Instagram post. Too long for me to read here, but you should check that. I guess that tells you how much it means to some people. That's a Celtic fan who said literally, I could not get out of bed this morning, and I called in sick. And back to the error point, it just goes to show how fragile and how fleeting this whole thing is. I guarantee Gordon Hayward did everything he possibly could to get himself ready for this critical season. He got the big contract. They were in line for a shot at a world championship. He'd spent his entire life working towards this moment. And 5 minutes into the season, the whole thing gets blown up. And maybe their season. Celtic fans, I want your thoughts. Again, that guy just said, I can't get out of bed. I can't go to work. I called in sick. That's how bothered I am by this. All right, when we return, Johnny Gomes is going to join us. Got a good reason to put him on. You'll find out what that is coming up. Top of the hour, Kareem Jackson. In the third hour, Gary Sheffield. I talked about the Dodgers and Cubs. I've got more thoughts on the Cubs and where that leaves them. Aaron Judge had himself a day. How this guy's doing this as a rookie for that team on that stage blows me away. Chicago Bulls had a horrible day. Podcast promotion. I want to do a recap of yesterday's podcast. The Jungle is coming to your television on January 2nd. All that's still ahead, but first, a sports update. Here is the very latest on this Wednesday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
From Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I am Jim Rome. It's a Wednesday, so that means it's an Ask the Pros Day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question there. I will read one of them later on, maybe even more than one. In the meantime, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They'll help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your car at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. We are joined right now by somebody. Let me give you the key points on his resume. A World Series champion, a jungle legend, the pride of Petaluma, and he's been very active in the relief efforts in the Wine Country fires. Johnny Gomes is my guest. Johnny, it's so good to have you on. How are you?
All good, buddy. All good. I mean, it is what it is right now. Heavy heart. This got this going on, that going on. But, you know, share it with you, Jim.
Exactly, Johnny. So you and I could talk about any number of things right now. We could talk baseball. We could break down the postseason from the perspective of somebody who's been through it. But it's not nearly as important, Johnny, as what you're doing right now. You're a World Series champion. You played baseball all over the world, but nobody reps the 707 and Petaluma harder than you do. So what was your reaction when you first heard about the fires in Northern California?
Yeah, man. I mean, it was tough. I mean, once you got it kick-started about a week ago, you know, it was heavy. And then it just kept pouring, man. I mean, it was like a war zone out here. It was just bomb after bomb after bomb. I mean, it was a full-blown, zero-contained fire for like 6 days. And, I mean, it's still just as smoky as all get up right now. I'm actually on site at Cardinal Newman High School, cruising through right now, just torch desk, torch libraries, just left a whole neighborhood that got flattened, like 80 homes, and all you can see is just chimneys, and that's it. I didn't even know it was capable of doing what it did.
Johnny Gomes joining us. I mean, there's so many things in the answer, Johnny, I want to ask you about, but the photos and the footage that have come out of the fires and the aftermath of the fires, it feels like something out of an apocalyptic movie. I can only imagine what it's like to be there in person, and you're right there on the scene right now. What's it like to see all that firsthand?
Yeah, man, it's unbelievable. I mean, you see some of, like, these melted wheels of the rims on cars where, it just says thousands of degrees. You know, you stand what was a neighborhood, and now you can see, like, a mile straight through, or you can see, like, 20 feet because it's a fence, a roof, a house, whatever. Cars flipped upside down because their gas tank blew. Schools, freaking, I mean, you name it, dude. It's, there's been wildfires, of course, throughout California where the whole hillside went down. But, you know, you're talking, you know, 170 acres of city and town that got burnt down. It's a sight not to be seen or felt, but it's as real as it gets right now.
Johnny Gomes joining us from the scene. Johnny, you talk about towns that are burning down. For those who do not know, what is life like in communities like Petaluma? What are the people who live there like?
Yeah, man. I mean, we're all about eating local, buying local. You know, there's so much awesome going on up here. You know, the wine country, a.k.a. God's country. We don't get those nicknames for accidents. You know, overwhelming support from, you know, everyone to the shelters, to where the shelters have to turn stuff away because people have been so generous. Food truck after food truck after food truck donating their time and their food, parked out in front of the National Guard where the firefighters are stationed, at the sheriff's station, at the police station. It's been unbelievable how this community has come together for the first responders and the thousands upon thousands that lost their house.
Now, Johnny, you sent your 2.5-ton M35 truck up to the area to help out with the relief efforts. I'm looking at the photos of that truck right now. It is a monster. How did you get a hold of that thing in the first place, and what are you looking to do with it right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of my just-in-case truck, you know?
Right.
Not really the doomsday prepper, but found that truck a bunch of years ago, and, you know, why not own a land boat, if you will, and it's got to, you know, turn into helpful up here. I mean, you're talking about 7,000 vehicles that are just metal right now, and, you know, they're going to need all the help they can get once the National Guard leaves and they go, here you go. I mean, how do you move 7,000 vehicles to a dump site? How do you move, you know, 4,000 houses that got torched from the iron beams to the chimneys to the ash to the garbage? I could fit 2.5 ton of weight on that thing and, man, you know, give someone the keys and go to work.
Johnny Gomes being active in the relief efforts in the Wine Country fires. Now, Johnny, you've mentioned that some of your friends had to flee their homes early in the morning, and only later did they realize that the only things they had left were what they had in their pockets with them as they ran. What's it been like to hear those stories?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just story after story of people with third-degree burns on their feet because they didn't even have time to put shoes on in the middle of the night to run out of their house because this thing was just so hot with 70-mile-an-hour winds just covering everything, to people riding miles on bicycles with, you know, almost like a tsunami of flames, like chasing them down the hill. And it's like, it's crazy that you don't gather around the dude with a story. Like, everybody has that story. Everybody was affected. People couldn't get out of the front door, couldn't go over the back fence. So, boom, they jump in the pool. They're sitting in the pool for 4 hours surrounded by flames, one after another. And they're at about 40 deaths right now. But the other thing is, I mean, they're upwards of like 100, you know, still active missing people, because there's some people that just ran and didn't have a cell phone, and now they don't have cars and just wandering around, which is bananas. But hopefully that, you know, 100 missing people doesn't come true, but it's real.
You know, John, you've been through so much in your life, but when you see this kind of devastation, there's really nothing that can prepare you or anybody else for it. What kind of an impact has this had on you as a person?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just all about being present. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in sports and in the world and the country right now. But, man, if you just take a step back and be grateful for, you know, where your feet are, wherever they are, man. For one, you're upright and kicking, and just be present that you got a shirt on your back, the simple things. You know, I mean, the stuff that, you know, the shelters are getting asked to be donated, you're like, oh, damn, I didn't even, like, realize that was a necessity. You know, you just take it for granted. It's bananas.
Johnny, can you explain that? I've heard that line a number of times, and I think that's a great, great line. Know where your feet are. What's that mean to you? What does that mean exactly, know where your feet are?
Yeah, man, just know where your feet are, man. Just, you know, just be present with where you are present, who you surround yourself with, what you got going on. Trust me, there's a lot worse that could be happening, but just take in the moment, take in what's present, and make the best of that little time that you're doing right there.
Before I let you go, you did say something. You said, quote, I'm what I like to call fake retired, so I can go do that and then get a cooler and sit in a neighborhood to make sure nothing gets looted. I'm going to put my energy wherever it's most needed. So are you pretty much setting up shop like that? Did you roll that truck in? Are you looking over things and making sure that all is good?
Yeah, man, I mean, it's, you know, every tragedy, you know, is tough, and then some good could come out of it, but then there's a whole lot of negative, man. I mean, you know, you got dudes rolling in with just red trucks, and they're putting fake stickers on the side saying they're, you know, the fire department. And I mean, if you're down with looting and if you're down with that, I mean, there's nothing but sitting ducks here. You know, I mean, there's mandatory evacuation areas that cover 5 miles. So if you're, I mean, there's no one home. You can just book on that. But they got all that under control now that the National Guard sitting their big old Hummers out there and not letting people go. But yeah, there was a couple days where it was kind of like a free-for-all.
Tell you what, man, they got a special place in hell for people like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. I mean, these people, you know, I mean, within an hour, these people are running out of their house barefoot with, you know, hoping their cat and their dog and their neighbor make it. And then fast forward in an hour, you know, some freaking jack wagon wants to walk into the house like he's a fake firefighter and just start taking TVs. So, it'll go back to them, though. Those are the people that get hit by a bus, so they can suck on it.
Johnny Gomes joining us. Johnny, you started a GoFundMe campaign to raise money for relief. If people who are listening want to get involved, they want to help out, where do they go to find more information and make a donation? How can they help?
Yeah, man, it's the GoFundMe, you know, website, and 707 Relief is what I named it. And there's a little story there, but you know, where it stands right now, it's like what's needed. You know, I mean, imagine your life, like what's needed if you had nothing. I mean, nothing to where, I mean, people can't even get a hold of anyone because their cell phone is dead because they have nowhere to charge their cell phone, even if they had their cell phone. So I'm just going to get this together, get as much money as I can, convert it to gift cards, and let these people kind of kickstart their lives any way they can, whether it's school supplies that was torched in the fire, whether it was, you know, all the sports equipment got torched. So I'm just going to do what I can, man, get some money and, you know, give it back to the people.
Johnny Gomes joining us. Once again, you want to go to GoFundMe.com/707Relief. Johnny, this is who you are. This is what you've always done. It is really good to get caught up. I hate that we get caught up on something like this, but you're putting yourself right in the middle of it. You're giving back, and as always, you're making a huge difference, and it's great to have you on the show, Johnny. Thanks for everything.
Yeah, you got it, man. I appreciate the love.
You too, Johnny. Be good. Johnny Gomes, World Series champion, jungle legend, the pride of Petaluma, and obviously very active in the relief efforts in the wine country fires. If you're in Northern California and you want to share your thoughts or you want to respond to what you just heard, go ahead and do it. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. And that last part that he said, that within 1 hour, you've got people running out of their homes. They have no shoes on. They have third-degree burns on their feet. They have nothing. They leave their house with nothing. The middle of the night, they wake up and everything's on fire and they got to get the hell out. He said within 1 hour, you've got, quote, jack wagons in red trucks slapping fire chief stickers on it. He goes, they'll get theirs. They'll get theirs. They'll get hit by a bus. And right? I would never root for anybody to get hit by a bus except for that guy. The guy that rolls into a fire-ravaged area in a red pickup truck with fake decals pretending to be a firefighter or fire chief and going into homes and looting. Such a great quote. He said, I'm what I like to call fake retired, so I can do that. Then get a cooler and sit in a neighborhood to make sure nothing gets looted. I'm going to put my energy wherever it's most needed. All right, so my thanks to Johnny Gomes. Kareem Jackson coming up in about 10 minutes from right now. Gary Sheffield in hour number three. And we are taking telephone calls. We talked about the Gordon Hayward injury. One Celtic fan called up this hour and said, I called in sick. I couldn't get out of bed. I mean, is that really true? It was grotesque. But did that hit you in such a way that you could not get out of bed or go to work? Maybe. The Dodgers are up 3-0 on the Cubs. They're done. They're not coming back. They're good. They're not the 2004 Red Sox good. This is in response to Ryan in Maine saying that he could not go to work because of that injury. Michael John Matrix tweets, Jim, did that Chowd just say that he called in sick because of Gordon Hayward's injury? What a loser. Was that guy 12 years old or something? Buck up, big guy. At Rich Micklebus tweets, a grown-ass man could not get out of bed to go to work because of a sporting incident. I'm sure that employer will reevaluate him. San Fran Faithful number one tweets, dude calls out of work and stays in bed? Hate to see his downward spiral if real life hits him in the face. Put your pants on and contribute. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you could call in sick and then the boss would think you're sick. But if you call a nationally syndicated radio program, it might work its way back to the boss. I mean, you might give me a fake name and a fake town, but somebody might recognize that voice. And then one email, Rome, as a 707 resident living in Santa Rosa, lucky to be alive and have a home, appreciate Johnny Gomes coming to bat for the 707. First responder, donated my overtime received because of the tragedy to those less fortunate. Gomes is the pride of Petaluma. Him and Brewers hitting coach Jason Lane. Good dudes. Appreciate giving the 707 some love. You got it. Johnny Gomes is the best dude. Kareem Jackson joins us when we come back. And then we are wide open. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. This is CBS Sports Radio.